Well, hey, Rascal, thank you so much for coming on today's show. I can't wait to just dive on in and learn all about your life. And if you wouldn't mind just doing kind of a quick introduction for our audience and listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So my trail name is Rascal. My legal name is Megan. And I have been an adventurer, I guess you could call it, for the past, I would say, 6 years now. My first big endeavor was back in 2019. I learned about the Appalachian Trail, and I learned that people do the whole thing in one go. They walk from Maine to Georgia or Georgia to Maine, and they just put on a backpack and hike. And that is something that I had never really done before. And so I decided to try that out, and turns out it rearranged my whole life. And so ever since then, I've just been returning to trails specifically, but any kind of adventure or endurance effort that just kind of like gets me out of society and pulls me into the mountains, into the woods or wherever, and just connect with the people and the experiences. And that's kind of the way I've led my life for the past 6 years. And that's the way I plan to lead my life until the end. So that's me in a nutshell, I guess.
Can you talk about like that gravitational pull you kind of had at the beginning when you started exploring and reading about the AT Trail and then like finally getting on there? And then can you elaborate to like how impactful that was on your life? Just because I've talked to a lot of climbers, and being a climber myself, I know how the outdoors is just so instrumental in doing that to people.
Yeah, it was really intense. Actually, funny enough, I was a climber before I was a hiker and a runner. And that's what led me to the outdoors is I was working as a zip line tour guide in North Carolina, and I met a bunch of like crazy dirt bags there and just started hanging out with them and climbing. And I was like, wow, this is what people can do with their free time. Is like, as a fresh new adult, I was at that time, I had just graduated college. I was like, whoa, people like hang out in the woods and the mountains together, like, just for fun. And they get to do these like really cool things, like climb rocks was the first thing that I got to do. And then I was like, it was all through social media. I started to like see people hiking, and there was this trail. And I grew up in Maryland, where near where the Appalachian Trail is. And I remember like, oh, I feel like people had mentioned it, or I'd been on it once or twice as like a camper when I went to camp in the area. And I was like, oh, that seems really cool. And so I just started to kind of like do a little bit more research and just kind of figure it out a bit. And I just was like, I want to try that. Like, I want to go hang out in the woods, which is somewhere I've always loved since I was a kid, and see if I can also do this thing. I didn't really have much of a plan for my life at that time. And I was pretty free financially. Not that I had money, but I just had enough. I was like, okay, I could do this. And I didn't have a lot of belongings at the time. And I decided to try it. And so I like signed up for the AT in a way. And I told my dad about it. And he wrote about it in our family Christmas card that year, which kind of like sealed the deal. I was like, well, all right, you told everyone I was going to do it, and now I got to go do it. But as I was learning more and more about it, it just seemed like such a magical, different way to spend 6 months of your life out in the woods. And I wasn't like much of a hiker at the time, but I had always like gravitated towards little mini solo adventures ever since I had like gotten my driver's license as a teenager. I just like go to little creeks or go to little trails. And I was like, oh, this would be like so amazing to actually do something like that. And so I did it. I got on the trail in March of 2019. And I just remember that first day, like that feeling of I belong here. And that was it. Like I flew. I just started. Like, it wasn't hard. It was beautiful and it was amazing. And even when it was hard, I was like, this is so worth it to be out here. And so from then on, I've just rearranged my life to continuously return as much as I can. So yeah, it was a pull for sure. It was a pull, some weird supernatural. I don't know, but it's great. I love it.
Why do you think it was so impactful, right? Because you use the word, you just felt like you belong there. So I'm kind of curious, like just your feelings or sensation throughout the entire trip.
Yeah, I mean, I was so young, and I grew up pretty sheltered. I grew up in a really well-off family. I was sent to private school my entire academic career. Everything I had ever wanted was handed to me. So like life was easy. And all of a sudden I'm out in the middle of the woods and like I have to fend for myself. Like I have to figure out how to survive and what to do. And I get to choose what to do every single day. You know, I can hike 1 mile, I can hike 20 miles. It's whatever I want. And I meet people who are out there in the same stage of life or not the same stage of life. You know, everyone comes from a different age group, a different financial group, whatever. And yet everyone still connects and everyone still has something in common because we're all out there for one goal. And so that feeling that I was beginning to understand, I had that every single day nonstop for the 5 months and 10 days it took me to do the Appalachian Trail. And so this like new self-confidence was building, this purpose for life and this thing that I was pretty darn good at. You know, I'm really good at walking, turns out. And I'm really good at just fending for myself and like finding the joy even in the discomfort, I think was huge for me. It made sense and it clicked. And then after I got off the trail, like I finished, I didn't really know what was next. And then COVID hit because it was 2020 after 2019, obviously. And the only place that I knew that I was safe, that I like fully understood, was the trails. It was like this epic thing that I had just done. And so I was like, okay, I'll try and get back there. And then I just kept going back and going back and going back. And here we are today. I have 11 days until I leave for my next hike.
Did you feel like you were out of place coming out of like a 6 month through hike? I mean, I know you have stops, you know, you get everything, supplies you need throughout those stops in that 6 months. But I mean, like returning and being fully immersed in society again, was it easy to adapt to again, or did you feel kind of out of place and you're like, I got to get back as soon as possible?
Yeah, it was the first time I returned from a through hike. It was the roughest. Like it was that we have something called, well, we call it post-trail depression. And you get it from pretty much any big endeavor or like long effort you do where you're like immersed in something just fully for a lot longer period than the average, like, you know, day trail run or day hike or whatever, or, you know, bike ride. It could be anything. And so returning from the AT was definitely a huge slap in the face. And I knew that it was going to be difficult because I had heard people talk about it in the community and whatnot, but I didn't understand how to handle it. And so it was really, really hard the first time. And now I've learned, like, okay, I'm coming home from a big adventure. Like, it's going to feel weird and people aren't going to understand what you just went through and what you saw and what you did and how it made you feel. You know, that's the big thing, is you can go out there and share all these beautiful photos and stories of what you did, but until somebody else does the same thing, they're not really going to understand the feeling. And so to try and convey that to anybody in your life is kind of like, it's not pointless, but it's not going to fully come across the way you want it to. And so there's this big like disconnect that you feel from the people who previously were like the most important people in your life, which they still are. But now there's this like big gap, you know? So yeah, I would say the first time I got back, it was hell. It was really bad. Yeah, I definitely fell into a hole of depression for a lot of that time. And then with COVID hitting as well and everyone freaking out. And I was living in the South at the time, so it was really weird. And I returned to the trail like that next spring. I went back and I did a long section hike because I was like, that's the only place I feel safe. So, yeah, it was hard.
So how do you navigate it now?
Now it's definitely like, okay, the adventure is coming to an end and it's going to suck, but you just surround yourself with like really good people. You know, finding community is so important in any stage or any season of life. And so I'm really lucky that I have this kind of personality where I tend to reach out and draw people in at the same time. And so wherever I'm returning to, I make sure that I am returning where there are certain types of people that are going to allow me and give me space to, you know, talk about my adventure nonstop for a little while and also hang out with me, like go on a hike and go climb and go on a bike ride and move. Movement is huge. I've learned that movement is the key to life, at least to my life. Especially when you return from such physical endeavors, such as hiking 20 plus miles every single day for 5-6 months at a time. And so any type of movement is positive and does help you kind of calibrate all those crazy chemicals going on in your brain, where it's like, oh my gosh, life's not good anymore. Like, no, that's not true. Life is good. And then something I always like tell people is that I've now created a life where I know I'll be back. I'll be back on the trail. I'll be back out there. It might be, you know, 6-7 a year, maybe like months wise, to a year that I'll return, but I know I'll be back. So it's kind of just like, be patient and just wait for your time, because like I just said, I'm heading out on a new adventure very soon. Having just gotten back from an adventure 2 months ago. And so it's like, okay, I can handle the in-between times because I know there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
It's that realization, right? And I think it's the experience of already doing it multiple times. And then you have the tool sets, the mentality. And I feel like the planning as well can help, because now you're looking forward to something that just kind of helps everybody, gives you that purpose, man. Which we're all looking for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a running list of new adventures, new trails, new things I want to try that just keeps growing and growing. Every time I'm out on an adventure, I get a new idea and I just add it to the list. And then if I'm like freaking out about what's next, I'm like, oh, let me look at the list. Let's see what I could start working on, you know, for next. And then, oh, that looks good. Let's start working on that plan. And maybe hopefully it comes to fruition, you know.
It's interesting that you say that, right? Because it sounds like you're always playing these like bucket list items, but you accomplished the Triple Crown, which is the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, and then the Continental Divide Trail, which is a really incredible feat within itself, right? You have these people that accomplish something like that, and they just, like you said, you know, you had the off-trail depression, but you've done this big thing, they're coming down. So, like, did you kind of have, like, a massive, like, life adjustment change, or, like, you've just done this great thing and things aren't going to be as paramount, or how do you kind of navigate that?
Yeah, it ebbs and flows, because I always kind of, like, think, like, okay, now I'm fulfilled. Now I feel like I can, you know, sit down and get a real job and, you know, plant roots and whatnot. And then within, like, 5-10 minutes, I'm like, nah, that's not me. I got things to do. I've got places to go. And so finishing the Triple Crown was huge. Like, oh my gosh. It was almost exactly a year ago today I finished the CDT and like had this whole like, oh my gosh, I've done it. I've accomplished something that people work their whole lives for, and I just did it. Like, I walked a continuous footpath on these three most beautiful scenic trails in the entire world. But I also knew, one, I knew I'd be back to all three of those trails at some point in my life. I know I will for sure. And two, there's like so many other things out there, regardless of if it's like as big, I guess, as the Triple Crown or not. You know, it's just different. Like things can be similar but different, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I never feel content, I guess, because I've also never found my limits either. So that's another big factor of my life is like I'm always looking to challenge myself more. And so the Triple Crown was a huge challenge for, like in every aspect, in terms of sacrifice, in terms of physical, in terms of all the different elements that go into it. But and when you look at it from a bigger perspective, it's really not that hard. It's just walking.
Yeah, well, what I love about it is it just feels like it's a lot of internal fulfillment that you're getting, which I think is incredible because it seems like you've separated the external validation of accomplishing this big thing. But it's like, no, I did it. It was fun, but there's always something next. And now with all your experience, it seems like you've really become the person that's like finding their limits, but then enjoying the discomfort, like being comfortable in the discomfort.
Yeah. And that's also like, you always get a chance to like reflect on yourself whenever you're out there too. So that's huge too. I'll always be learning about who I am and how I want to continuously live my life every single time I go out, no matter if it is a day hike or a through hike or a trail run or whatever. And so that's like such a motivating factor to me of like, no matter what the next adventure is, it's going to be special. It's going to be pretty cool. So.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to think about it. You know, then it's always everything special. It goes down to like the little minor details, oh, right?
Totally. Because you'll never be the same person too. If you, even if you return to the exact same trail, the exact same mileage or whatever, every single time, like you're never going to be the exact same person every time. So you're constantly changing. And so is the trail as well. But it's really just kind of an internal thing. Which was a huge factor of my most recent endeavor, where I helped my best friend, Tara Dower, set the fastest known time on the Appalachian Trail, which is the trail that started this whole thing for me and her as well. And we met on that trail back when we thru-hiked it in 2019. And so it was just really, really amazing to kind of like come full circle and do a lot of those miles again with her specifically. And be like, whoa, we are like, do you remember when we were babies 6 years ago and we were just little rookie hikers and we were just like figuring it all out? And now look at us, like we're running the Appalachian Trail and trying to make history for the entire world. Like, how crazy is that? So that was insanely special. And every time I've returned specifically to the AT again and again, it's like that was the trail that kind of like I was reborn on in a way, you know. It definitely was a catalyst for my entire life from then until whenever.
It's the cocaine trail. It just got you hooked.
I know. And it's like not that scenic. I mean, it's beautiful, but like out of the million, like thousands of miles I've hiked since then, it's like, yeah, the AT is like not the prettiest and it's not the easiest. And the weather definitely is the worst. Like all this stuff about it, but it is arguably it is the most special trail in the entire world.
So I'd love to kind of explore, because you know I read a little bit that you were the crew chief, and so can you elaborate kind of how the different stresses is compared to you're only worried about yourself, taking care of yourself, things like that, but then now you're worried about one person trying to accomplish this goal, and not only are you supporting her, but you have to make sure everything goes right. Could you kind of tell us like what that was like?
Yeah, it was crazy. I did not fully understand what I signed up for when I told Tara, sure, I'll be your crew chief. But this plan had been in the works for like about a year or so. And she was like, Rascal, I really trust you. We're best friends. You know me. I helped crew her on her first ever FKT back in 2020 on the Mountain Sea Trail, which runs through North Carolina. And so we both knew that we worked well together, I guess, in that type of atmosphere and environment. And she knows that I'm always all over the place. So she's like, you'll probably be free during that time, right? You can just like uproot your life and come hang out with me for 2 months. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I can. That sounds fun. Because I wanted to go back to the AT and I wanted to help my friend do this really amazing thing. And I wanted to be a part of it. And turns out I got to lead the charge. So Tara's only job was basically to hike and run the entire time. She was the race car, is what we call her. And so her physical body had to move between 55 and 60 miles every single day for 40 days straight. And I had to make her do it a lot of the times. Not that she, you know, didn't want to do it. This was her life goal, like one of her big life goals and her dream. And obviously she was very committed to it. But I was in charge of basically the logistics, the pacers, the driving, I helped a lot out with the nutrition, you know, literally following her around with food through the woods for hours a day and water and making sure she had her headlamp and enough layers. And then when we couldn't sleep in the van because we had a camper van that we were using, I would hike out all the camping gear into the middle of the woods and be like, okay, this is how far you're coming today. Come hike to me and then we'll camp out. She'd be like, no, that's too far. And I'd be like, well, this is where I set the tent up, so let's go. And it was brutal. It was very brutal, but it was beautiful. And she did it. We did it as a crew. And yeah, it's like one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And she's definitely someone who has zero limits. I mean, I made her do an insane, like, think about it, 2 marathons a day for 40 days straight. You know, like, how is a human body capable of doing it? Her body is capable of doing it. And then our crew was capable of kind of carrying her through it, you know, and definitely in a mental and emotional aspect for sure. So yeah, that was the most recent crazy thing I got myself involved in.
Think you'll ever do it again?
Yeah. We talk about it frequently. Not the Appalachian Trail specifically, but there's a couple other trails we're eyeballing. So we'll see.
Yeah, it is incredible to see what the human body can do, especially when you look at it from a scientific standpoint. But then at the same time, a lot of those things you can't. Something like that really does take a crew, right? Because even though you got your nutrition and everything like that, you can't really fight the mentality and tiredness that comes with
it. Yeah, and I think that's another aspect that I don't really touch on as much because people outside of the trail community, they're not really going to understand. But because Tara had their hike before, and I've through hiked before. Her mom was on the crew and her mom's a through hiker. And then we had a bunch of people in and out the whole time who are part of the hiking community. Because there was such a connection to the trail, like specifically the trail as like its own entity, I have a full belief that that's one of the biggest factors and the reason that we were able to accomplish it is because we have this different level of respect and this different level of like love basically for the Appalachian Mountains. Like we were born again on that trail. And so to return to it in a very weird, different type of way, to do it this way, you know, there has to be some kind of outside like factor that is really inhumane to help us do it. And I truly believe that we were given a lot of trail magic is what I call it throughout the whole thing from the trail itself. And so I know it sounds weird, but I truly feel like the trail is an entity and it definitely was on our side the whole time.
No, I mean, I believe that because then if you factor in weather conditions and things like that and the time of year you do it, right? Like, because you said the AP has the shittiest weather.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, which is the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, we had to delay our start date, I think, by 2 days because there was a hurricane up north. And then New Hampshire, we got rain almost every single day. But then once we hit Vermont, I would say we had maybe 3 days of rain the entire rest of the trip, which is insane to think about. And then we finished the trail, and 6 days later, Hurricane Helene hit. So, like, we were definitely black weather for sure.
Talk about timing.
Yeah. Really crazy.
So you keep mentioning this, like, being reborn. Can you talk about that from going from the AT trail, the PCT, and then the Continental, and how you kind of were reborn from each of those trails?
Yeah, it's funny. I kind of align this, like, weird metaphor of all my different hikes being as if you're, like, going through the school system. I'm like, yeah, when I was on the AT, I was like a cute little middle schooler. Like, I didn't really know what was going on. I was just a fresh baby and kind of figure everything out. And then once I figured out that that was something I wanted to continue to do, I started looking at the PCT. In between my time from the AT to the PCT, I also did the long trail and another really big section of the AT. So I felt like that was kind of my big prep to go out west, because I'm an East Coast girl. I was born and raised on the East Coast, and I had never left the East Coast until I went to do the PCT, which is so crazy. And so thinking about, you know, the desert and the high Sierras, I was like, that's big time. I'm not that kind of a hiker yet. And yet I still felt this, like, need to go try it, to go do it. And so when my permit was approved in May of 2022, I went out for the PCT, and I felt like that was college. That was like, all right, I'm out on my own now, and this is like the big time game, and I have to figure a lot more out, you know, how to navigate water, because on the East Coast, there's water every 3 miles. Well, in the desert, there's not, and so I had to figure that out. And then getting into the Sierras, I was like, now I have to hike in snow? Like, that's so scary. And so that whole trip was, like, just me, again, figuring out a whole new world of hiking. And I like to describe the PCT as also, like, kind of a honeymoon hike, because it's beautiful. It is so gorgeous no matter where you are. The terrain is incredibly easy. It is graded for pack animals, so you are just doing beautiful switchbacks all day. And the people on that trail are different than the Appalachian, for sure. Most of them have hiking experience, whereas on the AT, you're going to get more than half of those people have never hiked before. And so the PCT is like, oh, we're all in this together because we've all done this before. And I had the best trail family ever on the PCT. I met them all day one or day two of the trail, and we hiked to the northern terminus together, which was insane. And so when I finished the PCT, I felt like I had leveled up for sure. And this new wave of, like, okay, I could take on, like, really hard things now. Now that I've done the AT and I've accomplished the PCT, you know, I've hiked this year, as I've outrun fires in Oregon, and I've, you know, battled neurovirus and all these things. And now I can take it to the next level, you know. And the CDT is one that scares most people just because it's so remote and it's so out there. And it's really a newer trail. You know, it's not been around for more than, like, 30 some years. And so it's kind of like a baby in the world of long distance trails. And there's not as many resources around it. And so you have to, you know, you have to be okay with hitchhiking. You have to send ahead resupply boxes and do all these things that seem really intimidating to someone who hasn't, you know, done it before. And so I was like, all right, well, the CDT is next. I don't know when it's going to be. And then Tara told me she wanted a FKT this past summer. And I was like, no, that's when I was planning on doing the CDT. I was going to take one summer off and then, you know, save up money or whatever. And but the trail called me back. It rearranged my whole life, and the trail decided that it was time for me to get going on my Triple Crown. And so in the summer of 23, I went out and did the Continental Divide. And that one, that trail tried to kill me like 2-3 times. And I survived. I hiked every single mile. And after finishing that, not only the CDT specifically, but now having done my Triple Crown, I was like, well, I can do anything. It's great. Which is like a blessing and a curse, because now that's all I ever want to do, because I know I can do it. And now it's going to be really hard for me to ever, you know, have a structured life.
Yeah, but is that a bad thing or a good
thing? Yeah, I don't know. I haven't figured that one out yet. You know, I do have seasons of structure. You know, I worked all last winter. I'm currently working right now. So, you know, sometimes I am able to like sit down as long as I have something to look forward to.
Yeah, but you can never get rid of that itch, which is the funny thing, right? Like once you get a taste of it, no matter how small it is either, right? Because like I've never done big through hikes or anything like that, but I've done many climbing trips and things like that, and just nothing is comparable to that. And like the structure's, yeah, it's great, but like you always are like, when's the next time gonna be able to go out and do this again?
I'm definitely glad that I fall on that end of the spectrum of always looking for what's next. Because I wouldn't want to be someone who's just content with a 9-to-5, content with living in the same place for, you know, 5-10 years. I can't really imagine that at this point. I'm still pretty young, too. I mean, I'm only 30, so it's not like, you know, whatever, but.
That's right. We're all young. Right. Nice.
But yeah, the itch is real. I have a couple little brothers, and one of them's always like, why are you always just all over the place? And I'm like, because I literally get itchy. Like, if I sit down in one spot for too long, whether it be like to live or, you know, to adventure or whatever, like, I just want to keep moving. There's so much to see out there, and we're not going to get to see it all in our lifetime, no matter if we live, you know, 100 years or only for the next 5 days. So you might as well try and see as much as you can and experience as much as you can.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, you don't know. You get one trip around the sun, and like you said, it's either 5 days or you're 80 or even 100 if you even get lucky. But with modern medication and things like that, you can.
I don't know. I'm good.
You know, but yeah, and I think I really hate it, though, that people don't get some of the experiences that you and I had, even though they're different. They're relatively the same, right? Like yours are definitely way larger, but like I hate that people sometimes don't get that experience, because like you said, there's just so much out there to see.
Yeah, or maybe they do, but they wait until they're 60 or 65. You know, that's something that's really been huge for me over the past 6 years, is I've met thousands of people out there, most of them a lot older than me. And they're like, wow, good for you. Do it while you're young. And if I had a dollar for every time someone told me that, it's like, okay, deal. Like, I understand what, you know, the world is trying to tell me is like, keep doing what you're doing right now, because you will get old at some point. And yeah, you can still be out there and do different things, but it's going to be in a very different capacity than what I could do now, you know. And whether, you know, waiting is like financially smart, whatever, but I mean, if you really want to do something and you're really passionate, you just find a way to make it work. You know, people are always questioning me of like, where does all your money come from? Like, I don't have money. Are you kidding me? Like, I have gear and I have like flight credit. Like, that's what I have. Like, I don't have money. I spend what I make on my adventures and the things that help me adventure better, you know, or more experiences. I don't I don't need money to do half of the things I do. It's nice to have it, you know, when things go wrong, but, you know, it's going to work. It's always going to work. The trail will provide is what I have just kept telling myself. And I'm like, ooh, I should probably find a job for a few months. I'm like, well, the trail will provide.
That's, yeah. That's funny though, because it's like that, or the pro deals. That's what I was going to say. The pro deals sometimes help, especially with the, you can talk about flight credits and things like that. So pro deals that are life-saving.
For sure. I mean, I'm thrifty. Like, I barely ever buy anything new, and I'm constantly selling stuff as well. Everything I own can fit inside my car. Like, I don't own very much at all, and it's literally probably 85% of what I own, maybe 90% of what I own is gear. It's all gear. So I use it all very much. My dad always gets mad at me because I have holes in a lot of my clothes. And he's like, why don't you just buy new clothes? And I'm like, I don't need it. But you know what I do need? A new headlamp. Things like that.
Batteries.
Yeah. Yeah, food.
Yeah, but what's funny though too is like it's it goes against every societal thought, right? Like everything you have can fit in your car. Like you say that to someone and they're like,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and it's so counterculture to the way I was raised. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about it, is because I was raised in an environment where like you want things and you want stuff and materials are so important. And, you know, big, fancy, bougie vacations are what you're aiming for. You know, 1 week out of the year, because you have to work your 9-to-5 office job all year. And you have to live in, like, the penthouse apartment in the middle of the city and things like that. And so it's definitely, like, just so different from the way that I grew up. It's crazy to look at, like, the girls I went to high school with. And I'm like, wow, we wouldn't have anything to talk about at this point.
Well, and then you also mature in a way that they haven't, or that some people isn't, which is like an incredible thing within itself. I mean, you're truly living like time would be back when the country was first getting developed and people were exploring out west. It'd be like, I mean, that's a great comparison in a way, or like how maybe people learn to survive during the Great Depression, right? Because you said you're very thrifty. It's like these traditional mindsets and values and like wanderlust or just combine into the lifestyle you chose to live.
Yeah, I always joke I was born in the wrong decade. Like I should have been born and grown up in like the 60s or 70s, because everyone would have understood then. But now with like, and even like with all this technology, and I love the connection, and I love the fact that like you and I can just like pop on the cell phone and do a little, you know, recording and right here, right now. But man, does technology take up so much of my time and everybody's time, you know, and social media and things like that. And it's just, I want to keep going back to my hikes and to my adventures. So that way I literally don't have the opportunity to be on my phone for more than like 20 minutes a day, if that, you know. Like, I just want to check my maps. I want to take some pictures. I want to listen to music. That's what I want to do. You know, so that's definitely huge.
Yeah, right. Because then what's cool is because you don't get that consistent dopamine hit like the people were getting in when you get into the doom scrolls, right? I mean, you're experiencing the world in a way it was supposed to be experienced. It's like the other day I saw something, it was like a film of nature, and it's like, so people created 9-to-5 jobs when they saw this.
Yeah, I really, our society has taken a turn for I just don't even understand, you know. And yeah, I could get on a whole soapbox about that too, but it is like being out there is like a different type of high that you will not find in your phone. You will not find scrolling through Instagram. Like I just got back from a hike today, and I just like put my phone away and, you know, hiked up a snowy mountain and just like felt the nature. I just felt all the elements, and I was like, no one like can get this from just being on their phone. Like, and it's so crazy to think that people choose this over just like a simple walk. You know, my hike took me an hour and a half out of my day. But people just decide, or they don't decide. It's just, you know, they're the way they live their lives. They don't even realize it at this point. They've just been stuck in this loop for years now. Mm-hmm. So being able to break away from that every once in a while is just like so freeing as well. I'm even contemplating like at some point doing like a no technology hike. I would love to just like literally disappear for like a month or 2 months with zero connection and just see if I can do it.
So, that would be interesting.
Yeah, it really would.
Well, I had it and I lost it. Had it all the time.
Yeah. The problem with that is it's like not super safe, especially as a solo hiker, solo female hiker. Because I am, since I've, you know, matured a little bit over the past 6 years, I realize that like I need to have a little bit of common sense when I'm out there. And maybe that's just because I've had 2, maybe 3 near-death experiences at this point. But, you know, everything's fine. So I guess I'll just keep doing it.
I mean, you're talking to me, so I think we're good.
Yeah.
So far, not that there won't be more. There will always probably be more.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, though. You just can become very intelligent with the risk you take, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more calculated than when I first got into all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, when you're young, you're just like, I'm invincible, nothing can touch me. And so you just like have a weird idea and you go like off trail for 6 miles and get lost. And you're like, I think I'll be fine. And then you're like, I really have no clue where I am. And then the weather hits and all those different things. And now that I'm like a little bit more mature, I'm like, you know what? I don't have to put myself in those situations. So think about it a little.
Yeah, those ego checks suck. I had one last year, so totally get it.
Yeah, it's like, and then all your people are mad at you. They're like, why would you do that? Like, come on, don't be stupid.
Yeah, but I think like all of that, you know, because we talk about the 9-to-5, the corporate people not experience this thing. I think it stems from a little bit of fear and not understanding, right? And I think that's so that's like when you get questioned like, oh, is near-death experience, or you go do something quote unquote crazy or it's just not the norm. People are like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I have always felt safer in the middle of the woods, like nowhere without service, than I do if I'm like walking through a city at night. Like, to me, people are the scariest things, you know, and I'd much rather get caught out in the middle of nowhere, maybe like exposed and like weather's rolling in, then be, you know, downtown somewhere at night, no lights, in an alleyway. You know, I'd much rather not be in that situation because that would really scare me.
Yeah, which makes complete total sense no matter who you are.
Yeah. And so when I phrase it like that to folks, they're like, oh, okay. You know, I have to remind my mother that time and time again.
Because like you said, like it just circles back to that it's not normal, right? Or what people or society considers normal. Because it's kind of interesting because you've become so used to the environment in which you're in that like you avoid the dark alley, but at the same time, you're so used to getting the Ubers and the cabs and stuff like that. And then it's the constant reminder of nothing's happened to you yet. So then you just become used to it. And yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's some of the, like, I don't like to roll my eyes at people when they ask dumb questions, but then they were like, oh, aren't you afraid of bears? And I'm like, come on now. Bears, like that's what you think my biggest worry is, like, no, things like that, or I don't know. Yeah, like hiking, you know, honestly, I don't think I've had one hitch maybe in my entire career of hitchhiking that I was like, I probably shouldn't be in this car, you know. And people think that like the minute you stick your thumb out, you're kidnapped and gone forever. So
Backwoods people are real nice, you know, small town people.
Yeah. And I mean, the places that I hitch, it's like you're near a trail where people do that a lot. So like 9 times out of 10, they already know what you're doing. And that's why they're picking you up, because they know that it's safe. You know, I've had more people ask me when I'm getting in their car, like, are you going to hurt me? Are you going to murder me? Than me be like, I think I'm just in a car murderer.
That's fair. It's like an acceptable way of life. But yeah, you're always like, well, it's a new person. I don't know who this is. Which, nothing wrong with that. So you're talking about you're moving kind of forward. So what's the next big objective for you?
So the most upcoming one is I'm leaving to go to New Zealand in 2 weeks. There's a trail there called the Tiroroa. And it's about 1,800 miles. And it's basically just covers both of the islands. And I'm going to go hike it at least one way. And I probably have enough time to do it like down and back. So, or at least 1.5 times. There's 2 islands, the North Island and the South Island. And the South Island is said to be the most beautiful place ever. I mean, I've seen pictures, so I can agree. It looks amazing. If you've ever seen The Lord of the Rings, it is basically, that is Middle Earth. And so the North Island is mostly like farmlands. And so I'll just kind of meander my way down to the South Island. And then I'm thinking maybe at least lap the South Island twice and just see as much of it as I can in the 6-month span that I'm going to be over there. So I'm very excited about that. It was kind of like we were talking about, like a checklist of things. It's like, oh, I did my triple crown. Awesome. Check. Now I'm ready to go international. I told someone earlier today I'm going to go study abroad. And they were like, what does that mean? I'm like, well, I'm hiking, but, you know, abroad. So hiking is cool for me, but like, I love it. So
awesome. Well, Rascal, thank you so much for coming on and talking to our audience. I love learning about your stories and everything, and just I can't wait to see the future endeavors and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I do post on social media. All of my hikes since day one of EAT have been logged on there. It's kind of where I keep my family and friends at bay of like, oh, look, she posted, she's still alive. And so if you want to follow me, it's MeganJoy94 is my Instagram handle. And hopefully I'll be doing a little bit more writing on this trip as well. So that'll be really good.
Oh, cool. Okay. So do you have like a place you put your writing? We can put the link in below as well.
Yeah, I haven't formulated that quite yet. Mostly I've been doing blog posts for small cottage companies and then just writing through my Instagram posts. But there should be something coming up soon, because I need to actually formulate all of this type of material into readable content, because I just have so much to share.
That's fair. Well, I can't wait to read it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks so much, Ben. This is awesome to connect.